Yeah. That wasn't too cold. Wasn't too cold today. It was okay. Okay, we're on Daf. Okay, we're on Daf. Hey, I'm at Aleph at the very bottom, and we are in the middle of the sugya of Baal Ta'acher. And the sugya of Baal Ta'acher, we're going to be going deeply into it this week and next week. But just remind us of what we know so far, we know that the halacha that one cannot postpone, that if one postpones bringing a korban or bringing any other neder and the dove that one made, any other pledge that one made, so if one delays bringing it, so then one is in violation of a pasuk and chumash that we're going to look at carefully, and that's called los acher, not to delay. And we our entry into the sugya is because there are a wide variety of opinions as to how long one gets till one is in violation of this law, of this prohibition. What's the courtesy time that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives? So there is an opinion that the first Yom Tov that you're in Eretz Yisrael, that you're in Yerushalayim, that's when you have to bring it. But our sugya heavily focuses on the opinions that say that there's another opinion, you have till Sukkos. So whenever you made your pledge, you have till Sukkos. We're also not following that view. We're tracking the view that says that you have three Yomim Tovim. And specifically, the one that says that the three Yomim Tovim are in order, with Pesach being the first one. Which means that if I made my pledge around this time of year, so I get Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and have to bring it. If I make my pledge right after Pesach, if I make it in Lag BaOmer time, then I get an extra half year, because the clock, almost extra year, because the clock does not start ticking until next Pesach. All right, so that's the main view that we're tracking. The last 2 weeks we were discussing how alternate views explain the pasuk that we use in order to give us that particular order. So now the text that we're going to be looking at, it's really a text at the bottom of Dalet Amud, at the bottom of Hey Dalet Amud Aleph. The very last two lines of Dalet Amud Aleph, the very last two lines, Tana Rabban Heba Braisa, Chayove Hadomin, the Erechin, the Acharomin, the Agdeshos, people are obligated to give, to bring monies which they promised. The person said these are all different forms of promises. The Me'alai, he's willing to say the money of a certain situation, of a certain person, he's obligated to pay. But Erechin, the person says, he uses the chart that the Torah gives at the end of Bichul Kosai, that says if a person promises a certain amount, the value of a certain person, then it's a set price based on their age. Hacharomin, things that we promised to give to the Beis HaMikdash, and now we have to bring them. Hagdeshos, things that we promised to bring as either to give to the Beis HaMikdash, things that we promised to bring as korbanos, and then specifically a korban chatas, an osham, olos, or some different kinds of korbanos, tzedakos, charities, masros, tithing. Bechor, the firstborn of the animals, Maser, the tenth, Pesach. The person promised to give a Pesach. So then it goes on, Leket Shikhu Peya. and the various gifts that we give from our fields. Kevan Shomer Lane Shleisha Regolim, three Yom Tovim pass, then we are over in Baal Ta'acher. And that's a pasuk in Ki Seitza that we're going to be looking at. So now, our Gemara at the bottom of Heyamad Aleph, right, from the last, from Dalet Amud Bey, so Heyamad Aleph, the question was, how do we learn this series? Why, how do we learn that that is the courtesy time? And what do the other opinions do with the pasuk that we dash? But now the Gemara in Heyamad Aleph says, let's go back to that text that we just read. So now we're in Hey Amit Aleph, and we're 2, 4, 6, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines to the bottom. And the Gemara says, of all of this list, this entire list, there's one that is not like the others and should be a question. That is Pesach. Pesach bar mikriv berigolim. How does Pesach fit in this list? I have to bring a small lamb together with a group of people on the 14th of Nisan, and we eat it the eve of the 15th. Okay, now let's say I didn't do that. Let's whatever I was in Yerushalayim. I had my Korban Pesach. I didn't bring a Korban Pesach. I couldn't find the Korban Pesach. Whatever it was, I got busy with something else. I had an emergency. I had to leave. I didn't bring my Korban Pesach. Or maybe I was in Efrat and I had my Korban Pesach and I was going to bring it and it's all set aside to go. Something came up last minute, I couldn't bring it. So it sounds like from this text, I have three Yomim Tovim to bring it. That means, the Gemara says that means I could bring it on Shavuos, I could bring it on Sukkos, I could bring it on Pesach. Okay, that makes sense again. And then Shavuos. Why would I have three Yom Tovim to bring it? I can't bring it. I can only bring it in a Pesach. It's a Korban Pesach. I can't bring a Korban Pesach on Shavuos or Sukkos. So how could the Torah say that we give you three Yom Tovim? Pesach, Shavuos, three Yom Tovim should be 3 years. If it's three opportunities to bring and I didn't bring it, there should be three Yom Tovim of Pesach for him over Baal Ta'acher. Which, by the way, the lamb would be much too old and didn't bring it to Korban Pesach. But the but I still got to bring it. Now it could be an honor, though. It could be something happened beyond my control. So not may not be chayev garbage. Was that? So Pesach Sheni specifically, if I was Tomei or if I was too far from the Zohar, but let's say an onus happened and I was in Yerushalayim, they had me on my control. I was in Yerushalayim, got exposed. They won't let me line up for the Beis Hamikdash. They love it. They want me in quarantined. Nope. So what's the din then? Quarantined in Yerushalayim and a quarantine hotel. So what's the din? So it sounds like from this Gemara, bring the Korban Pesach and you have a courtesy time. Doesn't make any sense. Well, Pesach, Bar Mikra Begolamu. So the Gemara's understanding is very instructive because here the Gemara is pointing out to us that the idea behind Baal Ta'acher, behind the delay, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you three opportunities. I'm not going to expect you to come up specially. It's very nice there, Baruch Shalom. I'm not going to come up specially. When you're coming up anyways, you get three chances. Didn't bring in three chances. Baal Ta'acher, Korban Pesach doesn't have three chances. Baal Mikrib, it sounds like I could bring this on a Sukkot, and I can't. The Gemara says, Pesach Zimna Kevile. Pesach has a set time. You either bring it then, or you can't bring it. So what's it doing in the list? If you brought it, then you become the mitzvah. If you didn't bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, you can't bring a Korban Pesach at any other time. You missed it. It's been pushed aside. Can't be brought. Amar Abchizde, Pesach Kidei Nosva. Very, very difficult answer. Kidei Nosva means it just slipped in. It got into the routine. In other words, we're Ezu Mukoman. We say every morning, Abachor, Abmaiser, at least once a week. Abachor, Abmaiser, and Pesach, right? Abachor, Maser, and Pesach are the three gifts we bring to Yerushalayim that are on a similar level of the sanctity of Kedusha. They can be anywhere in Yerushalayim. Bechor, Maaser, and Pesach. Let's say Kodesh and Kalim, they're on a lighter level, and they're often grouped together. Bechor, Maaser, Pesach. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda says, it's part of the routine, part of the road. Bechor, Maaser, Pesach. He really only meant to say Maaser and Pesach. He didn't mean to say Pesach. He meant to say Bechor and Maaser. He did not mean to say Pesach, but it's a phrase, Bechor Maaser Pesach, like Chevre Shreit Tavakotin. The thing, it comes together. So again, you can see how the tight spot that the Gemara was in to say they really weren't careful. It just slipped in there. Kidei Nosfo, while he was, that's the Nosach that we usually say. And Rav Shesha said, Omar, my Pesach, Shalmei Pesach, it's the Korban Shlomim of Pesach. What does that mean, the Korban Shlomim of Pesach? There is halacha. The Rashi says, what happens if I lost my lamb? Right? I came to Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, and I came with a lamb, and I came with 15 kids and 70 grandchildren, and we have a large family, and we came with Allah and everything we have going to be there. We're going to Pasch and Lina for 7 days. Everything I unpack, and we get all into our Airbnb, and everything's beautifully settled. We have a beautiful place on the patio for the Korban Pesach. We have a fire pit there, and I say, where's the lamb? And who, Yanko was in charge of the lamb. He lost the lamb. It's very easy to lose a lamb in Erev Pesach. First of all, the lamb wants to get away, probably. It's not a stupid lamb. And there are lots of, the Gemara says that when you used to come down on the road to Yerushalayim, the hills around Pesach, around Yerushalayim looked like white. There were so many lambs. Nope. So, you lost the lamb. All right. Veneskaper. So what do? You say, buy another lamb. Not hard to find another lamb. Okay. Find another lamb. And everything's good. And he brings his Korban Pesach. And then the lamb shows up. The last standing lamb in Yerushalayim. He had a siman on it. He had a collar on it. They put a, whatever it is. So obviously this lamb, no one took this lamb because it didn't belong to anybody. It's Yerushalayim. And people return things in Yerushalayim. Maybe the Munit drove it up with the lamb that we left. Whatever it is, it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we retrieve the lamb. We were kind of the mitzvah of Pesach. But it's a designated Korban Pesach. So what do you do with it? So it drops into the larger category of a Shlomim, because that means that Pesach is one example of a Shlomim. Shlomim means that you can bring it, we say in the morning, bring it any place in the Azara, Shech, any place in the Azara, you bring it up to the Mizbeach, and what's unique about the Shlomim is that the Kohen gets, that a part stays, gets burned on the Mizbeach, a part goes to the Kohen, a part goes to the owner. And to eat a Korban Shlomim, you have 2 days and a night. A Korban Pesach has the same sanctity as a Shlomim. The proof is you can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim, and you don't have to be a Kohen to eat it. The only thing is that a Korban Pesach has very specific rules. It is a subcategory of a Shlomim. Very specific rules. Number one, only on the 14th. Only eat it on the eve of the 15th. Don't get 2 days and a night like a Shlomim. And the Kohen doesn't get. And the has to be, you can't boil it. You have to roast it. So very, very specific rules, but it's all a subset. So now that the person is now with the Gemara is teaching us is a chiddush, that when this korban cannot, when this animal was designated as a Korban Pesach, and now it can't be brought as a Korban Pesach, so then it slips back into the general category of a Korban Shlomim. So now I have a regular Korban Shlomim. I can bring it anytime to Yerushalayim. They'll have the broader rules, will not have the limiting rules of the Korban Pesach. In other words, there's an insight over here, and that is that when I set the Korban Pesach aside, I'm giving it the sanctity of a Korban Shlomim. And then the Torah says that there are limited rules. That usually limited rules adds more sanctity, right? If you can only bring a Korban on the Mizbeach, and you cannot access it at all. Korban Ola, Kodshe Kodshim, higher sanctity, right? If only a coin can eat it and a non-coin can eat, higher sanctity. So over here, the Gemara is saying is that all of these rules that we add to the Korban Pesach, they don't add to its sanctity. It stays has the sanctity of a Shlomim. With a Shlomim with peculiar rules. So Amar Mai Pesach, Shalmei Pesach, Ihachi. The Gemara says that does not to be a satisfactory answer. Why is that? Because if you go back to the last line of Dalet Amud Aleph, it says, Chatos, sin offerings, Ashamos, another form of a sin offering, Olos, entirely burnt, Ushlamim. And then it says, five words later, Pesach. So if you're telling me that the Korban Pesach that is now being brought because I'm not sure what the English word would be for it, but it's no longer going to service as a Korban Pesach, and it drops into the larger category of Shlomim, and now we're saying now you have three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. In order to bring this, the Gemara says that we know already. That we know from the previous work, the previous entry of Shlomim, where it says, no, you don't know that. Why? Tonu Shlomim Abon Machmas Pesach, the Tonu Shlomim Abon Machmas Atzvon. Because there are two different kinds of Korban Shlomim. You could think that a Korban Shlomim, which became a Korban Shlomim because the Korban Pesach got lost and got found again. You could solta daita chamina hoyl machmas pesach also the pesach domu komash melon. You could think that it has the rule of a real pesach. What's the rule of a real pesach? The top Rashi says uber regel vishim yavor aleihem. The Rashi says a real korban pesach. If I messed up and I did not bring it on korban on pesach, then I'm over bal ta'acher right away. Because the date is the 14th Tov Shin Pei Aleph. The 14th Tov Shin Pei Aleph comes and goes. I have this Korban Pesach. I'm already over Bal Ta'acher. I'm done. I don't get another extension of Shavuos and Sukkos because I can't bring a Korban Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos. So I might think that a Shlomim, which is a Shlomim, because it's picking up from because it's a Korban Pesach that got demoted, I might think, okay, it got demoted and it's a Korban Shlomim, but it doesn't get a greater courtesy than the Korban Pesach itself. I might think that the courtesy of Bal Ta'achar, this Korban, is the same courtesy that it's the original Korban Pesach. I said I'd bring a Korban Pesach on the 14th. I have to bring it then. Now this lamb shows up. Okay, bring it right now. Why should I get an extension on bringing it? So the Gemara says no. Therefore, the Gemara is teaching us that this Korban, even though there would be a logical approach to say that I can only bring it on, that I have one Pesach to bring it. No, it becomes a regular Shlomim, like every other Shlomim. And I have three of them told to bring it, and that's why it has a separate entry in the list. Michael, go ahead. Okay. So that's the first in, and it's very, very instructive to us, not only in terms of learning a little bit more about the Korban Pesach, but it's instructive to us because it means the Gemara understands that the idea behind having three Yomim Tovim is that I have three opportunities when it's easy for me to bring the Korban, right? I would even suggest it's possible that we know that three in in halacha establishes a chazaka and establishes a pattern. And the Gemara says that we see from other areas of halacha that once a pattern means that it's a characteristic, that it's not random. Gemara says if an ox gores, that's a random event that I cannot be held responsible for. It gores a second time, random event, cannot be held responsible. Gores three times, that's not random. That means I have a dangerous bull and I have to protect and rein it in. So three establishes a pattern that is a concern for us. Gemara has God forbid, where's the Kamlanis? God forbid, a woman or man with a husband or wife, if two spouses die without any pathology, so then the Gemara says that that spouse shouldn't marry a third time because he can't say it's a random event anymore. It's called a katlan or katlanis. So that's the Gemara's idea that 2-3 establishes a pattern as a characteristic. So you could say the same thing over here. The Gemara, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says anybody can delay bringing a korban. Things can come up. You have other things to do. You have a big family. It's parnasa. You don't make it to Yerushalayim. All right. You didn't, you promised to give a certain korban. Things happen. Have a business is tough. You didn't have the funds available. Whatever it is, things happen. However, if a person pledges, and we assume he can come through with it, and then 1, 2, 3 times, he doesn't bring to Yerushalayim, that's already a pattern, a characteristic of delaying, of procrastinating. That's a characteristic of not taking the pledge seriously enough. So that's how the Gemara seems to say. Now the Gemara says, well, my Korban Pesach, if I don't bring it for 3 Yom Tov, has nothing to do with my not taking it seriously. It has nothing to do with establishing a pattern. It has to do with the fact that I can't bring it except for in Pesach. So that seems to me one of the ideas that we learn from the arguments that the Gemara makes over here. So the Gemara then says, the Tanu Rabbanan, Mino Hanei Mile. How do we know this long list? So the pasuk, which is our Gemara, see it on the side, in the small print, but it's the first of the quoted psukim. Ki sidar neder l'Hashem elekecha. When one will make a promise to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right? The different kinds of promises and pledges he can make. When you make a pledge, korban based on mikdash, lo yisa'acher l'shalmo. Do not delay in bringing it. Ki dorish yidrishenna. Hashem elekecha leimach, because God will say, "No, where is it? Darish and Rishana." He says, "What's going on? He made a promise to me." V'hoya v'chochet, and you'll be held responsible for it. There's a very beautiful idea in this pasuk, because if a person makes a pledge and no one comes asking for it, so then that diminishes the significance of the pledge, right? Person makes a pledge to an institution or something, and they don't come for it. So then he says, all right, so obviously I wasn't one of the big donors. My money's not so important. I'm not really a player over here, right? If you don't get an invoice or a bill, I so often get reminded. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, a person makes it, promise to bring a korban. Kadosh Baruch Hu needs another korban. He's another animal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, ki darish ed rishena. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to, you made a promise, you made a pledge. I want it. I want to see it. I want to go through it. So that is, you know, it sounds at first to be a tough thing. And you have to be very careful for that reason, not to make pledges unnecessary, not to make pledges. But the idea, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not an onerous thing. I'm holding it to your word, which is part of it, but it's also ki darish and rishana, because it does become important to Kadosh Baruch. So the Gemara says, let's look at each part of the pasuk. The Tana Rabbanon, the first line on Hey Amid Beis. Ki sidar neder eli ella neder unidava neder kama ki sidar neder. It sounds like that the pasuk that says you can't delay the grace period, I call it the courtesy period. The grace period is is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. So that should only apply to a neder. A neder is when a person takes on personal responsibility. He says he makes a promise, as opposed to a nedava, a gift. When a person, I'm gifting this to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm gifting this. That means this item gets ruined, gets lost, runs away. Okay, then I'm free from my obligation. However, if he says he accepts upon himself the responsibility of bringing it to neder, so Gemara says neder has kisidar neder. How do we know that even a person makes a gift, right? A person can say, a neder is if a person promises to give a certain amount of money to the to an institution, and a gift, a person says, I'm going to give this painting to the institution. It's a gift. Now the painting gets messed up, gets lost, so he's not responsible anymore. One of the great stories of Rav Kahaneman. He was we mentioned a few weeks ago in the drasha. Rav Kahaneman was the large life figure. He was a great fundraiser. He built Panemish. He was a great, great fundraiser. So one of the great stories of Kahaneman is he was on a fundraising trip, and he goes to a certain person, a man of wealth. He says, I envision that in my yeshiva, I'm going to have this magnificent library. And he saw on the wall that there was a very beautiful and substantial painting. And he says to the donor, he says, and I envision I'll have this library, it'll be an important resource. And this painting would grace the walls of our library immensely. So the guy says, that's what the rabbi says, he can take this back to Eretz Yisrael and he can put it into the library. All right. Then after a few moments, the Balabas says to Kahneman, he says, please tell me more about your library. He says, to be honest, right now, all I have is a painting. So the... Right. He solicited funds from a person who wasn't so enamored by the Shivish world. So he said he'll only give money if it's the kids who go there won't have long payas. Because he says he has this picture of wild kids running around with payas. So he took the money and used it for a girls' school. The Beis Yaakov. So over here, that's in the difference. The painting is in the Dova. So a person makes a promise he's going to bring a specific korban, a specific animal to the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, and that gets lost. Who maybe that is not governed by the three Yom Tov rule, Vinayan, Nemar Kan Neder, Nemar Lehalon im Neder Oy Nedova. The Gemara says, well, we have another situation at the beginning of a Yikra, when the Gemara equates neder, promising the responsibility to bring a korban, and equates that to the situation a person says, I promise to give a specific korban. So the Gemara says, since in that context they are equated, the same thing applies over here. So that's neder and nedava, a 3-month grace period. So then the next part of the pasuk is ki sidar neder l'Hashem elikecha. So what's l'Hashem elikecha? Ki sidar neder l'Hashem elikecha. Elu charamin, elu hadamin ve'erchin macharamin v'akdeishes. These are different gifts that we mentioned before, and what is the Tosfos points out that when the Torah discusses these gifts. So in the pasuk that discusses them, it says that they are going Lashem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu Lashem. So Lashem Lekecha is a reference to the gifts that are described as gifting the rebellion, gifting God, so to speak. So that is these various monetary gifts that a person obligates himself to give to the Beis HaMikdash. Lo se'acher lishalmo hu v'loi chilufam. One should not delay bringing them. So it says lishalmo. One shouldn't specifically that which I promised. And sometimes I have to bring something in place of what I promised. And then it will not be governed by the same rule of Baal Ta'acher. Ki Dorish, that's not what we learned before. What we learned before is that this is the Korban Pesach. It's not in place of it. It's, but I can no longer bring it as a Korban Pesach. This is a situation where I promised to bring something. For some reason I cannot bring it and I have to bring a replacement. So the Gemara says the replacement gets its own grace period. We'll discuss it in a moment. Ki darish id rishana. Why? Because God seeks it out. What does God demand from us? So there are, God doesn't demand that we make oaths and promises. We learned in the Tainus, the Gemara says, Tov asher lo tidar. Better we shouldn't make pledges and promises. So what's ki darish id rishana? Elu chatois v'asham. Sorry? Tov asher lo tidor. Right. Right. But there's two versions of the pasuk. And then there's one version which is Tidor Mitashalim in Mishlei. But two different, but that's correct. Better not to make a netter out of a fear that we may not, that is a very surprising pasuk in of itself, because that's a double portion. Tov asher lo tidor. Better you shouldn't make a pledge. May asher tidor v'lot tishan, then making a pledge and don't pay. That's, you don't need a pasuk for that, no. It's obvious that if I'm not going to pay up, I shouldn't make a. So apparently, we explained this last year sometime. Apparently, there are times when making a pledge is of value in and of itself. For example, in Eis Tzara, right? When a person's in a tough situation and he makes a pledge, because he wants Kadosh Baruch Hu to accept it as a prayer. So there is a value, I should come up with it, but in addition, a pledge very often captures a certain moment that a person has. So that's a great value, right? A person is excited about, could be a situation where a person is got great news. He got a good result from a test or something. So he's so excited, he makes a pledge, he's so excited. He says, or he makes it even before, he's davening, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if this comes out good, he gets a good test, the surgery works, makes a pledge. He's not thinking in that moment he has no money to make the pledge. He's not thinking in that moment he starts selling off in order to make the pledge, he's going to want to be able to feed his kids. But the moment that he was so either excited or so passionate or so, that is an important moment. So the Gemara says, the Torah says, you could think that there is a value to a netter, to making a netter. All right, I have to make good on my pledge. But if I can't make good on my pledge, you can argue, there was a great moment. I had a great moment of excitement. I wanted to memorialize it. So the Torah says, no, you shouldn't think that way. Tov asher lo tidar, I have to sort of fight the urge of that moment when it can't come up. Good, Michael. Yeah.
$1,000 and then $100
left over. The lamb was $200. Right. That was $200 set aside. How could I set aside? Right. It should be used for, well, it could be used either for, yeah, it could be probably it should be used for a shlomim that one would bring on Erev Pesach in order to round out the meal. But it would go for shlomim, that's correct. Right, so the the reason why, so then the question would be, then the question is, so what does that add on to the entry of Shlomim per se? So could we give the same answer? It would be governed, it'd be hard to explain. If it's a demoted Korban Pesach and actually changed its, so I was obligated to give the Korban Pesach. I messed up. I got lost. Now I find it after Pesach. Okay, so now it turned into a Shlomim now. So now the question is, is the clock ticking? The answer is yes. Could I argue the clock should not tick until next Pesach because it became a Shlomim now until I found that it wasn't a Shlomim? So that's a very strong argument. But to say that I erred Pesach when I bought my Korban Pesach and I had 200 shekel overage, and then I used that to bring as a Korban Shlomim. So then why would that be any different than the Shlomim in the list? And even if you'll tell me it follows the rule of the Pesach, it will be the same thing as the Shlomim that's donated at that time. So that's hard. It would be hard to, even though the halacha is correct, that would be hard to justify why you get a separate entry in the list. Yeah, most are Pesach, correct. And the fact is that I think one of the Bali Tosfos discusses that this Pesach, if you look at the very bottom, the bottom Tosfos raises that question. I think that's we have also in the second line of Hey Amud Beis, the Arba Moiser on Pesach. Yeah. Good. So now we have Chatois, Ashomois, Olos, Ushlomim, Hashem Lekecha. So Elu Tzedokois, right? It says, Lo Sach, Kidorish Yidrashenu, and again, Hashem Lekecha. That sounds like extra. It says in the pasuk, if you make a promise, Hashem Lekecha, Dorish Yidrashenu, of course, the Rebbe Hashem is going to want it. So the Hashem Lekecha, Elu Tzedokois, Umaisrois, Umbechor. That includes the tzedaka, the tithing, and the bechor, right? And the bechor is the bechor behema. Question that one of the achronim raises is, what's the deal with the bechor adam, with the bechor, the pidyon haben? What is there a din of bal ta'acher and a pidyon haben? So that is discussed amongst the Mefarshim, whether we say that it's like every other promise is like part of Bechor over here. So it's like I should give my 5 shkolim to the Kohen, and if I don't do that, I might be in constant violation. Because I should do the mitzvah of pidyon haben, so I'm continuously missing the mitzvah from the bitul. I say, however, the losas of bal ta'acher will only kick in Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And others say, no, doesn't belong in the list altogether. This is only a bechor behema, not a bechor adam. Why is that? Because the bechor adam is a very specific time. One of the mefarshim asks, based on Yerushalmi, is there bal ta'acher l'gabe bris milah? Person didn't do a bris milah. So we say that he has, we assume that it's like got nothing to do with bris milah. It's a mitzvah, again, it's a mitzvah. So I have to do a mitzvah. So I have to do the 8th day. If I don't do the 8th day, then I'm in violation of pushing off a mitzvah. But there's no, the lo sa'acher doesn't have anything to do with a mitzvah. It has to do with pledging with, but a mitzvah has its own timing. The Torah gives its timing, so that's the machlokes when it comes to pidyon haben. One approach is pidyon haben is like bris milah. You're supposed to do it on the 30th day. When there's not doing the 30th day, So then every day that passes, one is in constant violation of not doing the opinion of Ben. All right. Is there an additional, it's a gift to a Kohen. Every gift gets a 3 month, a three yomtiv grace period. So will there, or you can say the way around, after 3 months, after three yom tovim, I should be in violation of al ta'achar? Or do we say, no, when it comes to if I pledge a gift and there is no time associated with it, so then there's a grace period. Then there becomes, I become obligated after three pilgrimages, they call it the Yerushalayim, all right? But if there's a time assigned to it, so then the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this is the time. There's no grace period. This is the time when you have to make the opinion of Ben. You don't do it. What's your grace period? From sunrise till sunset. That's your grace period. The sun sets, then you're in violation. You have to keep on doing it. You can do it at night. You have to wait for the next day. So Bris Milah is an example where there's no grace period. You get from sunrise to sunset. That's it. After that, one is being mevatel and mitzvah say every single day. So pidyon haben, it seems to me the consensus is that it is like Bris Milah. There's one set that there's a set day, and if one doesn't do it on that set day, then one is in violation. Others push back and say that that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk does not say. The pasuk says miyoyim. It says that after 30 days, one is chayv to do pidyon haben, as if the 30 days are now to a viable child. Now you're chayv. So others say it's not so clear. That our general approach is we do it in the 30th day. And I think the consensus poskim is that if 30 days comes and goes, or 31 days comes and goes, so then one is in violation. And that's, I think, our general approach. I think that's the consensus approach. And that there isn't a further Baal Ta'achar that kicks in three Yom Tovim later. But I thought that some see it as that the 30th day is the license. Now I am obligated, and now the shkolem will bring about a pidyon. Now that it will work, right? And now the question is there a grace period for how long it's going to work lechachil without consequences? So that's the best of the, however, the Bechor that we just learned about is certainly refers to the Bechor Behema, that there isn't any set time period. Is that when the animals are tithed, then that which is set aside has a year to be brought. And that's what the Gemara, the Mishnah, will talk about the Rosh Hashanah for Bechor. And if it isn't brought at the appropriate time, then one has three yamim tovim, in which one will be held in violation of al-tachar. And probably it means from the time that the animal was set aside to be a miser, you get three yamim tovim. Next, the Gemara says, "May imcha," he will ask from you, "zeleket shikhopeya," that refers to the various gifts that we give from the fields. Right? Why is that? Because we are asked to have the oni, the poor imcha, the one that's with you. So may imcha, the things that are with you, are remes to include the gifts that we have set aside for the poor, for the oni. And the Gemara says that if we delay after three Yom Tovim, so then we will be held responsible. And the Gemara says, this Jew will be responsible. You shouldn't think that the Korban becomes responsible. The Gemara says, what does that mean? The Korban is not responsible. The Gemara will say later on, it means the korban is not, the korban is not disqualified. That animal can still be run as a korban, but the Jew who doesn't bring it is going to be held responsible for not bringing the korban in a timely fashion. Omar Mar, so that's the Braisa. The Braisa is from the top of the Omud till Omar Mar, and the Braisa is explaining how we got the long list of Dalit Omar Aleph, how we got that from the Pasuk about the Acham Kiseitse. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this Braisa, which derived the various rules about the Acher, or the various gifts that are included about the Acher. The Gemara goes on to say, Omar Mar Loisa Acher Lishalmoi, Hu Veloichi Lufam. So the Gemara explained that Lishalmo, we should not delay bringing this animal as a korban, but Nechi Lufam, the one that is brought in its place, then that has a new time grace period. So, Ichilufav Chatos, the Gemara says, in what situation will the animal that we got mixed up and confused, the original animal that will have Baal, that does not have Baal Ta'achar, and it's because of this pasuk, right? The Gemara is saying we would expect a certain kind of korban or gift to be governed by Baal Ta'achim, and it's not governed. And it's called the switch. So Amar Mar, Loi Sa'acher L'shalmoi Hu M'loi Chilfav, Chilu Fe'mai. How did this korban become switched with the original gift? I Chilu Fe'oilu Shlomim Mikru Korvi. I Chilu Fe'chatas L'misa Ozla. What is the situation? A situation where I promised to bring a certain korban, and the korban was going to be a korban ola fully burnt, and I brought it because I omitted doing some mitzvah sasei, and then this korban ola gets lost, and I make another korban ola. So then the first korban ola shows up. So Gemara says that it will be brought as an independent korban. It's brought as its own korban and should have its own Baal Ta'achar rules. If it's a situation where I had a korban chatas, I did a chait, and I'm bringing a korban in order to get kapar over the chait, and then I lose this korban, so then the halacha is, I have to separate another animal who is a korban chatas, and I bring this new animal. Then when the old animal shows up, what do you do with old chatois that are no longer, they can't be a chatas anymore? If I promise to bring a korban ola, so that's a gift that I'm giving. So then if the animal gets lost, I promise to give another ola, all right, so I give an extra gift, two gifts. However, if I promise to bring a korban, and I bring the korban to get forgiveness for a chayv, and then animal gets lost, and then I bring another korban chatas, so I got kapara. So what do I do with the old? And then I find the old korban chatas. Was that right? Okay. Well, this would be one of those situations. So the Gemara says, so what am I supposed to do with it? So in that case, it's it gets killed because we can't do anything with it. So where would there be a case where I have a certain animal, I can no longer bring that korban, and I have to bring another korban in its place? Where would there be a situation where it makes sense to discuss whether I have three regalim, how many of them I have to bring this new bim koim? So let's remind ourselves. The korban taida is a person has to bring a korban. He brings a korban out of gratitude to Hashem. Right? The four classic cases: Yarnei Hayam, major oceans. He crossed major oceans. He was released from prison. Has to bring a korban toda. He was ill and he got better. And he was crossing at midbar and he made it through. Has to bring a korban Toda. That Korban Toda is an animal which comes with 40 breads. 10 of them are pancakes, and 10 of them are probably like wraps or something. 10 of them are like crackers, and 10 of them are bread-like. So I bring these 10, 40 different breads, and I have one day and one night to eat it. So it's a korban shlomim. I have it, part of it stays in the mizbeach, part of it comes to the kohenim, and part of it goes to the baal habos. And I have to bring 40 different breads. Famous netziv, that I remember this became famous. Certain ideas, you remember somebody told me there's a phrase that sometimes takes 3 years to be an overnight success. So this was a netziv, which just as I remember when people first started talking about it, now it's like one of the classics. So netziv says, why does the korban toda, the largest korban with the smallest possible amount to eat, time to eat it? 40 breads. And there's no other korban with 40 breads, right? And it's a large animal, and only one day and one night. So the netziv says, because when it comes to giving thanks, because Baruch Hu wanted us to be inclusive, to include a lot of people, that people should know because Baruch Hu is taking care of us. He's doing good things for us. That we're going to be thankful. I have to have a chance to be able to publicize the Nes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the idea of a Sudas HaGedolya. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Korban Toda. So in order to make sure that I invite a significant crowd, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 40 breads and only one day and one night to eat it. So we'll have to make the invitation list, have to include the list, second list as well. So that's the, so now the Gemara says, what happened? The first thing is the Korban Toda. And what happened to this Korban Toda? Shenis arva b'tmurasa, umesa, achas meyen, chaverta ein la takona. So I have a Korban Toda, I have two animals. And one is a Korban Toda, and one is not a Korban Toda. And now I let them go together. So these two animals got confused. I cannot pick out which one is my Korban Toda and which is the other animal. So now the Gemara says, and one animal died. If I had both animals, be no problem. I bring both animals. I bring all the 40 breads. And I say, the Baruch Shalom, one of these two animals is a Korban Toda. You figure it out. Whichever is the Korban Toda belongs to the 40 breads. And the other Korban Toda becomes a Korban Shalom. Good. Okay. I make a bigger party. It's all good. But now I have a Korban Toda. I have another animal. They got mixed up and one died. But now what's going on? I can't bring 40 breads without a Korban Toda. And I don't know if this is the right Korban. So I may be bringing 40 breads with a no-name Korban, with a no-name animal over here. So the Gemara says, in that case, what do? Ein l'takana, heichin l'ovid, likriba, b'likriba lechem adah, dilma tumburi, likriba lay lechem, dilma toirahi. So the Gemara says, I'm stuck. I can't bring the animal without the breads. And I can't bring the breads with this particular animal because it might not be the right korban. So the Gemara says, "Kevan the lav bas hakrovahi." So this is the animal about which Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Hu beloichi lufav." That in this particular case, the Baal Ta'achid is not governed this animal. Okay, we'll stop. The Gemara then goes on to say, if you can't bring the animal, why would you even think that there's a korban that is a din of Baal Ta'achar involved altogether? Yes, thank you very much.
Shkoyach.
Okay, thank you very much.
Laila tov.
Erev tov, erev tov. Yeah.
Shkoyach. Thank you.